101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. It's been freezing in a majority of the country the last several weeks, so even unfamiliar places in the South where our guest, Dr. Fitz, works, like in Texas, have been seeing sub-zero temperatures. So another risk to that is frostbite. So I'd like to talk with Dr. Fitz about what exactly is frostbite.
Well, frostbite is a medical condition that basically is damage to the skin and the tissue, and it comes from freezing. It happens when the body temperature is affected, for example, dropping below a certain temperature, the environment. The ones affected the most are going to be like the nose, the ears, the fingers, the foot extremities from the heart. Those are the ones into areas that are exposed. So if you have your body exposed to the frigid temperatures, those ones are going to suffer the frostbite or the cold weather injury. Because as we discussed earlier, the body has a tendency of protecting itself. So it constricts the further areas of the extremities to preserve heat for the inner core, the heart and the brain. So it does this mechanism to preserve the energy of the body and to protect it. So therefore, your hands, your ears, your nose, they get vasoconstricted, so they're more prone to having frost injury. Because of the weather aspect, though, it freezes the tissue.
So the fact that you have less blood flowing there, it'll freeze faster in those areas, right?
Well, exactly, though, because basically there's no circulation to there, so there's no heat to that area, so it's a lot more affected by the cold temperature, because as we said, the blood is shunted away from it, goes to the heart. It's just a mechanism the body has. So the more exposed it is, and with less heat to that area, the more tissue damage is. And then remember, there's water. 80% of our body is water. So all that water that's there freezes, and that's what causes it, crystallizes, and that's what causes all the damage to the tissue, the blood vessels.
Right. So actually within the cells and the tissue itself, you have ice crystals forming. And what about wind chill, because that really, through conduction and evaporation, the wind chill, it lowers the temperature even more. So your risk of frostbite or exposed skin in that area drops dramatically. You don't even have to have, there's a whole chart on that, correct, for how the wind chill affects the temperature and how long you can have an exposed area out before it freezes.
Oh, yes, because what happens is, and, we've all been out there where the wind is blowing and it just feels colder than what it is. And it is, So all of a sudden that the tissue that's exposed, those extremities exposed, you have the wind, you have the cold, which makes it worse. And so, therefore, the damage can occur at a lot quicker pace and a lot more severe because of all those factors. You got cold as it is, and then add on top of it the wind, which can drop the temperature anywhere from a few degrees to over 20 degrees on top of what the normal temperature is there. And so it just affects the tissue a lot quicker. So even though you could be out there for a less period of time, the damage can occur at a much quicker pace, only because the wind chill and the cold temperature combined that. Because, as we said, conduction, convection, our heat is coming out of our body, so it's taking it away because of the cold. So it just makes
it
very complicated, though.
Yeah, actually, I saw in one of the charts that once it dips below zero Fahrenheit, any exposed skin within 5 to 10 minutes that it's exposed can be at risk for frostbite. Now, there are some stages of it and kind of early warning signs. Can you talk about those?
Sure, no problem, though. There are several stages. So the first one is called frostnip, and basically it's just the upper layer that kind of gets cold. It really doesn't freeze, but it gets cold. And you kind of feel it when you walk outside. It's kind of cold. You feel that little burning sensation to your hands, and you kind of slap on it. So there's no damage to this. We call it frost nip. But then you get into certain areas where it becomes a little bit deeper into the tissue, and those are called chill blades. And basically, those go deep into the skin. They can pull ulcers. Those, again, exposed to certain areas, the toes, the nose, the ears, they're exposed to cold areas. They can actually kind of blister on it, though, because they've got more damage to the skin. Those are called chilblains. And then we definitely have the big one, which is called frostbite. And that goes a lot deeper into destruction. It can go all the way down to the bone, the tendons, the nerve endings. I mean, it just eats the skin away. And what it is basically because there's no circulation to that, there's crystallization to that area of the tissue, it becomes necrotic. And so it just becomes basically kind of falling apart. The tissue just kind of falls apart. And if you add humidity on it, let's say you keep your boots on and it's cold and stuff, then you get a different kind of perspective because now you got humidity in there that tends to make it worse. So the three areas, basic classification that we have of cold injury is the frost nip, which is very minor injury, nothing really at all.
That's when
the chill veins. Yes, go ahead.
No, that's when the skin is just kind of red and stings and feels like pins and needles, right?
Exactly. And then you get the chilblains, which is a lot deeper. You start blistering in some of those areas.
Is that the area when it's kind of whitish and gray, But that at that point, the skin is injured. It can recover from that, but you have injury to the skin, and you're more at risk every time you go out with those areas, correct? Because you've
With chilblains and frostbite, anytime you injure it, and in the future, once you recover, you're always more susceptible to it, though. And one of the things we also tell people is this freezing, thawing, freezing aspect can actually make things worse. So you don't want to be in those situations. That's why we tend to immobilize those injuries that, like chilblains or frostbite, we tend to immobilize and keep them covered. Because once they freeze, you got injury. Then you thaw, so you're trying to make it better, and then you freeze it again, so you're just adding injury on top of injury. So you try to immobilize this and keep them covered.
So the so once you get it even into the deeper frostbite, it's almost like a full thickness third degree burn, right? Because that's the blotchy, bluish black. The blisters are black. You know, you have some of the gangrene set in. That's almost like a third degree burn. Is it treated that way?
It is. Unfortunately, it is. But you don't go and treat it immediately right away. That's why there's a saying, if I remember correctly, it goes freeze in January, amputate in June or July, I believe. What it is that you get injuries immediately in January where the tissues are damaged, but you don't want to do anything to it because you don't know what the injury is going to be like down the line. So you tend to wait and see how they develop. But yes, you can develop gangrene. You develop gangrene, you're going to have to amputate. And we see those a lot. And like you said, once you have an injury of either chilblains or frostbite, anytime you get cold injury or stuff, it's always going to be very painful. There's always a nerve damage that is left there.
But it's you bring up a good point. It'll demarcate itself and let the surgeons know at which level it'll probably need an amputation. So I do want to talk about the common mistakes. So you hear about people rubbing or massaging the area with snow. That's a myth. You should never do that, right?
Never do that because you already got tissue damage and you already got crystallization in the tissue. So now you're going and rubbing. So you're rubbing basically ice on ice. So you damage the blood vessels, you damage all the cells in there. So you don't want to do that. The best thing to do is passive warming. Wrap it up. Keep it warm as possible. Don't put a horrendous amount of heat on it, like get a hot bottle and put it on top of it because it's just going to make it worse. Instead,
because
right,
then
warming,
you're adding a burn, right? A burn on top of a cold burn, right?
Yeah, because you can't see it. So now you're going to get burned on top of a burn, but now it's a thermal burn again as well. So what you do is you passive warming. Wrap it up in sheets, wrap it up in towels or blankets, keep it warm, keep it immobilized. Don't allow it to refreeze again. And don't rub it, like you said, exactly. Don't rub it because you got all that ice crystallization in there. You go rub it, you're just damaging more tissue. You're absolutely right on that one.
Good. And another good point or important caveat for, you know, those thrill seekers out in the wilderness, I guess, the refreezing is the more damage. So if you are out in the wilderness and you know it's going to take you a while to get back to civilization and definitive therapy, it's probably better to leave the part frozen, as painful as it is, have someone bring you back so you're not walking on that part, and then warm it up later. It's very interesting. Well, this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lieben Ocher on Radio MD.